Blog Talk Radio.
How's it going? This is Psychic X Journeyman here on Psychic X Journeyman Spiritual Link Talk Radio here on Block Talk Radio. Welcome. If you want to call in and get a free reading, please do so. We do full readings here. We're not like these other crazy shows out there. We'll only give you a chance to answer two questions, and then they just scoot you down the freaking road. What's up with that kind of stuff, huh? We say free readings, we mean free readings. So give a call in here at 646-721-9031. And we'll be glad to sit down with you and give you a free reading. Also, if you want to sit there and take advantage of our private readings, which actually gives you more privacy with more private situations, so therefore you have to broadcast them across the airwaves, give us a call at 719-344-8699 or call me on my cell phone at 740-500-86. I'm sorry, it's actually 8. I can't forget what the name was. It's actually 740-500-8863. Or contact me through my website at www.psychicxjourneyman.com. We have an October special going on where you can actually get 4 45-minute sessions for only $100 or 1 45-minute session for only $40. So take advantage of those great prices. And all you got to do is listen to the show, hear us as we talk about it, call us. Simple as that. So we got some callers in the queue. We'll also be checking in with the chat room real quickly here, too, from time to time, saying hello to everybody in the chat room. If you have any questions, please let us know, IMS or whatever. We'll be glad to answer your questions either on the air. If you specify not to, we have no problem with that either. So just let us know, okay? Let's go back to the queue and then start talking to you. Let's get some callers going. What do you say? Okay, let's go to our first caller, which is area code 609. Welcome to the show, and how are you?
Okay, how are you?
That's a good question. How are you?
I'm good.
I think it's what we should do anyway, right?
Yeah.
We'll focus on you, so therefore I have to focus on my problems. I can forget all about them for at least the next 2 hours, okay?
Okay.
So how can we help you? What's your name, and how can we help you today?
My name is Desiree, and I'd like an angel reading.
Okay. What's the situation, Desiree? When's your birthday?
9/25/57.
9/25/57?
Yes.
You don't sound like a 57.
Yeah, I'm a 57.
You sound like you're more of a 67 than anything else.
Thank you. I wish I was.
Well, keep wishing. Wishes do come true.
I don't think that one will.
Okay, well, the situation we got going on here is the idea. You want to get angel card reading? What we do when we do the show is I usually do angel card readings. I do 7-card and 5-card angel readings, which is very – it's like trying to give people an idea. Okay, when I do angel readings, when I say I do a pyramid, it means I start out with, like, for example, a 5-card spread. It is 5 cards, and then we put 4 cards on top of that. And then we do 3 cards on top of that and 2 and 1. We actually build a pyramid. Okay, the first part of the situation. The first 5 cards are your foundation of who you are. And then we go through the situation of actually getting you more information about your situation. Now, what we do on the show is we only do 3 cards.
Okay.
But realistic, it's 3 cards, 2 cards, 1 card. So it's actually 5, I think. 3, 4. Yeah, 5. I had to count that one out. Okay, so let's do it this way. I'm going to shuffle the cards. I need for you to do one thing for me is to tell me when to stop shuffling, okay?
Okay.
All right, I'm shuffling right now. We're actually using the Angel Tarot by Doreen Virtue. That's not an advertisement. I'm just giving you an idea what kind of cards I'm using.
Okay.
And okay, if I was, it's my show, so who cares, okay? Anyway, I'm shuffling the cards right now. Always remember one thing. You're not paying for this, so we can shuffle them as long as we want.
All right, stop.
Okay, I was right. Okay, I was actually right in the middle one, so let me finish that one up. Okay, now I want you to tell me one thing.
What?
I need you to tell me if you want to cut this deck or leave it the way it is.
Leave it the way it is.
Okay. Now, our first card out is the Six of Earth. This is the Six of Pentacles. This is actually a very good card, very insightful, because this is a money card. Pentacles, Earth, usually indicates anything that has to do with metal. And if we look at the situation of a dollar bill, realistically, with cost and everything else that goes along with it, you can actually trace it back to metal, too, as well. Okay? Now, when we look at the card itself, it's talking about the Six of Earth. It also talks about balance in your life, but it also talks about the idea of focusing on your career. Because it does show opportunities to actually do what you want to do. So if you're in a situation or position right now where you're not doing exactly what you really want to do, then you need to sit there and think about that. Because a lot of people right now are just really irritating me. Because they're all working their butts off because they feel like they have to. Now, people are going to sit there and go, well, you know, in the real world, I don't want to hear your crap about the real world. Because, see, the idea of reality is actually our creation. Even time is our perception. Okay, so therefore, in the process of actually doing what you really want to do with your life, also has a tendency to funnel down to everybody else as a good example for them to do the same thing. Now, when we have this going on, what happens is the world changes in a very positive way just because of our actions. So see, if you want to be in a position of helping the world, then help yourself. Because this talks about gifts of money, time, and effort, new career opportunities. It's also putting yourself in a situation that people don't think about, is that if you want it, you go get it. You don't sit there and listen to the people. I hate to sit. I'm not trying to be negative. I'm actually being positive by saying the world has no clue what they're doing.
All right.
No, think about this. Credit reports. Getting things on credit. People sit here and say, well, you have to have a certain status and all this kind of bullshit. Did I say that? Yes, I did. Okay, now when we sit here and chase it down a little bit, what we're trying to say is, has anybody ever sit here and thought about the idea of the secret? The secret talks about manifestation. Now, if you look at the manifestation part of the whole situation, it doesn't say there's only certain things you can manifest. No, it doesn't say that. It says, ask and you shall receive. Doesn't have any it doesn't have any kind of stipulations on the situation. That's our perception. The only limitations a human being has is the limitations they impose upon themselves. So if they stop imposing these upon themselves, there are no limitations. This scares Christians because they feel like they have to have limitations, or they're scared they're going to conquer the world like Hitler. But we also look at the situation. Hitler didn't conquer the world, did he? So see, it's all basically feeding into fear. So what this card is basically saying is, you got the idea of recovering your life is the idea of realizing exactly what you can accomplish. But the second card for you is the Five of Pentacles. It also shows the fear surrounding money, but it also shows that you should open up to the possibilities of self-employment. What do?
Actually, I'm disabled.
Okay, now let's take a look at your situation and tell you, is your disability really a disability?
Yeah.
Or has it just been, has it been presented to you like that? And the reason I say that, because I have a lot of clients who are in wheelchairs. Okay, we have this thing called the internet. Okay?
Okay.
My friend, my client I had, she had this thing about disability. She got $825 a month, and she would not go above that. And even though she had a job on the internet that she could have made $2,500 a month, she wouldn't exceed that because she was scared of losing her disability. Do you really see the? Do you see the? Do you see the? What's the word? Do you see the disappointment in this situation? That this lady has a chance to stand on her own 2 feet, but she's relying on the government of $825 when she, as a person and her ability, has the capability of making $25,000 or $2,500?
Yeah.
Which one would you want to sit there and do? You want to let the government take care of you, who's only going to give you $825? And with all this bullshit going on right now, who knows what you're going to get next year?
Yeah, right.
Okay? So when we sit here and look at the situation, isn't it about time that we all did one thing, is to learn to stand on our own 2 feet? Even if you can't stand on your own 2 feet, you still have the capability of being a powerful person in your life, because it is your life, okay? So when we look at the situations, you have a lot of opportunities to go way above disability, to realize that with your mind, you can accomplish anything, even override your physical body. I mean, I was sitting there talking to someone the other day. I was sitting there going, it says that with meditation and manifestation that we can actually change DNA. Don't you think we can also combat disabilities?
Yeah, well, I was told I have a healing power, but I haven't been able to heal myself.
Because your perception. You have to have the perception within yourself to realize you can do it. I've done healings on women and people, and the one thing that held us back was their perception that they couldn't perceive in their mind a perfect body until you can actually look at that. I think like this, and you can tell me I'm wrong or right, I'd still come back at you and say you're full of it. I would sit here and say like this, we're all perfect beings, and we always have been. It's our perception that tells us otherwise. Jesus came here just like we did, and he was a perfect being, which shows us as a good example that we can also be the same. That's what it was all about. And I was there talking to you the other day. I said, did you ever see the part where they're in the boat crossing the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus is sleeping, and the disciples come to him, and they're all freaking out, and they're going, oh, there's a big storm coming on. Could you do something? And you can pick up a little attitude from Jesus, because the reason he has an attitude with these disciples is because he's taught them that they have dominion, they have power, that they can actually do the same thing he did by telling the storm to cease if they have the belief within themselves. Okay? That's what he was saying. And if you sit here and look at the inserts of the Bible, I'm tired of churches right now that they don't preach the ideal strength behind Jesus' life. Okay, he sat there and took on our sins. But what is sin? Sin is the lack of. So when we have the lack of love, we feel like we have to take. If we have the lack of money, we feel like we have to steal. So if you look at the situation, once we conquer that lack, we don't have those temptations to hurt people. If you look at the Ten Commandments and you learn to love yourself and everyone in your life unconditionally, you'll never break the Ten Commandments. Your life will be fantastic. So therefore, we are perfect beings if we would just allow ourselves to believe that. We've gone through traumas and all kinds of good stuff in our own lives. We don't realize those were just learning lessons to find out more about ourselves and to tap into that strength.
Mm-hmm.
So you have two fantastic cards here that talk about the earth and the process, the idea of grounding oneself, that you can accomplish anything you want. I want to sit here and say, are you glad you called? Anyway. So I was sitting there going, I'm looking at the situation, going, the nine of, you also, in the third card you have is the nine of pentacles, the nine of earth. This also shows the outcome of embracing your gifts and talents and who you are. This card indicates the enjoying life's little luxuries. All you need to do is spend a little quiet time alone, meditation every morning. Because the second card talks about uncertainty towards self-employment. Now, if you look at the ideal where you're talking about healing abilities, if you actually tap into the ideal of your healing abilities, I think someone needs to explain it to you a little bit more in depth. Okay? You have a healing ability, but it seems like it has to do with your words. You're a very inspirational person, and people listen to you, and they've changed their lives, and you've helped a lot of people.
Yes.
Okay, so you have a healing ability by what you say. Now all you need to do is talk to yourself and say, okay, I'm a perfect person.
See, that's the problem. I can heal other people, but not myself.
Yeah, but see, the point is, it's also something that's been dwelling in your head that in certain situations that we can't take our abilities and help ourselves. Let's sit and look at the situation of the contradiction of that statement, okay? Mm-hmm. Here you are in a position where you can help the world. In the process of helping the world, don't you live here too?
Yes.
So you need to let down the resistance to realize your abilities can also help you too, but we've all heard this thing where you can't do things for yourself because that's wrong to actually heal oneself or even do one thing, you know, like the idea of winning the lottery and stuff because you have psychic abilities. So you can't have any self-gain. I'm sitting there going, you know something with the situation? Just help other people. For example, when I do readings for people, when I hear what's coming out of my mouth to help you, I listen to what I'm saying and take my own advice.
Yeah.
What you need to do is listen to yourself and take your own advice. You're going to see probably big differences in your life because it talks about, one card talks about uncertainty towards self-employment, but the third card actually indicates successful self-employment. So we actually see both sides of the story where it's like, I'm thinking one thing, at the same time you know you can do it. You have a lot of pinnacle cards. So it shows a lot of prosperity coming in your life. A lot. It's just the ideal. See, we started talking about the one thing I was saying before. Does people understand what it means to let go? Why is it so crucially important to let go? Because in the process of letting go, like do a little test, okay? Do a little test and say, okay, today, from this day on, I'm going to listen to the very first thing that comes to me. Because this is guidance. Guidance always comes through first, and then usually we have a tendency to talk ourselves out of it or talk ourselves negatively in some way. That's second-guessing ourselves. It's the idea of taking one step further and say, okay, today we're going to listen to the first thing that comes through, no matter how crazy or how off the wall it is, I'm going to listen to it. Because I guarantee you start doing that, you're going to start seeing positive changes in your life very quickly by listening to yourself. Listening to your heart's desire. Because the second cards I put on top of the other three was the Eight of Wands, where it talks about if you listen to that and listen to yourself, delays will be over and many things will be happening at once. But then you're going to sit there and look at the situation by letting go. You're going to realize that when things are all happening at one time, you can still handle it and you can still deal with it. Because the fourth one here says, this is another pinnacle card. It's the Earth card. It talks about, this is the Four of Earth. It does show that you have a tendency to be a little bit feverish and too cautious with money. And people say, well, don't you all have to? Not really. It kills the flow. Because it shows good business decisions. It shows a lot of things going on in your life. Just by listening to your heart. You'll also be put in a position where you can also give to those less fortunate than you. For some reason, I feel like that's a goal of yours.
Yeah.
And then your final card actually talks about happy outcome. It's just the idea of focusing and following through with those brilliant new ideals that leads to success. It's the idea of saying, if you have a sense of a lack of self-worth, it has a tendency to reflect through everything you have. This card tells you no. By listening to yourself, you're going to have more confidence in yourself. And you're going to see things change very quickly.
Okay.
So you have any questions?
No, you covered it all. So I'll be doing well then, right?
Most definitely.
Well, thank you very much. Do you see any angels for me?
I'm sorry, dear, but you have angels all around you. Plus, you're also an earth angel yourself. I would sit here and say you have three guardian angels. Right now, you seem to be connected to three of your guides. You actually have five, but three of them have actually come through. I also get a really strong connection with you with a name, Sally.
Sally?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody told me I have a guardian angel named Desiree.
That's your name, isn't it?
Yeah, I know. That's what I said.
I don't know. Sometimes I got to watch people when they say certain things because they kind of, I don't know. I'm not going to say no, but from what I've experienced with guardian angels, they just exist. They don't have to have names. And you sense them more than anything else.
Right.
And I'm just getting names more or less with your guides. And the thing that came to me the most was with Sally, is to focus on Sally. Spend some time with yourself in meditation. And just ask. Because the one thing I was trying to say with people when you're meditating, ask. All you have to do is say, angels, I have some questions I need some answers to. You don't have to really address them by their names.
Right.
The thing I've been getting the most is the idea of names are just titles that they have so we can actually identify with them. But once you get past, once you get to a certain level, then it's all energy. And you sense them more than anything else. I mean,
right.
I've talked to a lot of people, even people who've been doing this for a very long time. And even the idea of connecting and actually seeing your guides is very rare.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So when you see Sally, it's the idea of meditation, of asking your angels. Realistically, it's the idea of asking your angels in meditation about names and that kind of stuff to connect with your guides. There's actually a good book, if I can find mine, on channeling. I put everything in a specific place. Sometimes when you put things in specific places, I can't find a specific place.
Yeah, me too.
But, sometimes I got to get this thing all organized. It was organized, I swear. I found the book. It's just the idea of getting to it. Oh, I have so much stuff. All right, here it is. It's called Opening to Channeling, How to Connect with Your Guides.
Okay.
And the authors of the book, I'll just spell it out to you.
Okay.
Her first name is, I think it's Sanya, S-A-N-A-Y-A, Roman, R-O-M-A-N. If you go anywhere to get this book and you mention that name, you should be able to find it.
Yeah.
It's a great way to connect. It's a great way. People have a tendency to freak out when it comes to channeling and that kind of stuff, but realistically, the ideal daydreaming is actually channeling. And I actually sit there and told, there was this one situation where a guy was sitting there walking up the sidewalk. He had a tendency to look down. When he looked back up, there's this guy sitting on his horse who looked like he was from the 17th, well, actually, looks like he was from the 16th century. And the question was he seeing into the future? Because the guy that he saw was also seeing him too. So was he seeing in the past, and the guy in the past was seeing into the future?
Right.
So when you sit here and look at the two situations, it's a channel back and forth that opens up for both people to see.
Yeah.
Okay, so when you sit here and see a vision of something and you see something of the future, you're actually opening up a tunnel up into the future of seeing something going to happen. I always tell people one thing about situations, the future changes very quickly in the idea of perception. When you change your perception, things change. So that's why it's always so hard to get timing. Because something you do today that you wouldn't have known yesterday changes the outcome of the future. So, with that said, we open ourselves up to all the possibilities because things could change. If things can change that drastically, we also have to realize they change because of our perception and what we decided to do.
Right.
In the process of deciding what we do, we can either stop or... I always tell people like this when it comes to anything and everything, okay? You can learn how to maneuver. You can learn how to get through obstacles, even go around them, over them, and avoid them altogether. Okay?
Right.
It's like picture yourself going down the river of life, okay? As you go down the river of life, you have a tendency to hit rocks and stones and that kind of stuff, and you get hurt. But after you go through those things a couple of times, what you do is you learn how to maneuver around them. So you want to go and experience those. So life can be like this. People go, well, I'm tired of hearing people say, you got to go through the negative stuff, you know. I said, do you realize that learning how not to is also a learning lesson?
Right.
Okay. So, but one thing we cannot change is the speed of the river. And the reason we can't change the speed of the river because everything keeps going forward. It's amazing when you talk to people. So well, I guess it's time for me to move on. I said, I'm sorry, but you've always been moving on.
Right.
Okay, you've never stopped moving on. Life keeps going forward. But you have to sit there and look at yourself one thing, okay? When you sit there and look at yourself, why relationships are so important in life is because each relationship that we attract into our lives is a physical manifestation of how we feel about ourselves. Okay? So therefore, if we deny ourselves of any relationship and the length of where it's supposed to go, all we're doing is denying ourselves of finding more about ourselves. Why would you want to do that?
Right.
So I look at people and say, I'm not getting pushy or belligerent or anything else. When I sit here and look at you and I see who you are, I can also see that if you let the relationship proceed to go forward, you're going to find more out about you. It's kind of hard to explain when you sit here and say, you've always been who you are. But as you go through life and you have these experiences, it's almost like taking dark patches off each one of those things to start seeing the full picture of who you really are.
Yeah.
So when you start thinking, I don't know if I want to do this. Let's look at people and say, why would someone want to stop a relationship from going forward? Because they're scared of what they're going to find out about themselves. And then probably what they're going to have to let go of that they're so comfortable with now. And all we're trying to say is, in the process of being comfortable, you're missing out on being loved unconditionally. Not by me, but by yourself.
Yeah.
Okay?
Right. You're right.
So, Appy, what they take? People come to me all the time and say, am I in love? I'm listening and going, go away. If you don't know that, and you're not listening to yourself. I also have a situation with psychics, too. I don't like psychics in the sense who say, you know, you can't read yourself. I said, then why do you keep telling your clients to listen to themselves?
Yeah, right.
You're sitting there saying, listen to your heart and follow it. And when we do psychic readings on the truest form, I'm listening to my heart and following it to give you information and guidance. So I'm listening to myself. So see, it's a contradiction, isn't it?
Right.
Are those people just saying that because they want you to come to them and get readings? Wow.
Either
okay,
that or it's a good thing to say. Sounds
yes,
good.
Yes, there you go, you know. And it's like with my friends and everyone who's in my life, I always sit there and I'm very straightforward and blunt. And I tell them exactly how I feel about them. Okay? That's something people go, okay, you bad. No, I'm saying, when you see it, you feel it, you know it, you speak it. You don't sit there and say, okay, you know, kind of, you know, I've had people sit there and look at me and go, well, you know something? I don't want to be in a relationship. I mean, it's like we can only let things go so far with certain things. And I'm sitting there going, but why are you trying to stop that? Why do you feel like you need to control that? Do people realize that every time you open your mouth, you tell me more about yourself than you think?
Yeah.
It's just the idea of paying attention and listening. If I listen to myself completely, unconditionally, I will always know you because I know me.
Right.
So you see how important it is when they say it's crucially important for you to be yourself, because the more you be yourself and the more you understand who you are, the more you understand the people you attract into your life and why they do what they do.
Well, one thing, I'm always myself.
Yeah, but see, the point of the situation is, don't be scared to open yourself to the realization that sometimes maybe you're not.
No, I'm pretty blunt, and I'm always myself. I'm not fake or phony at all.
Mm-hmm.
I say what I mean, whether it hurts somebody's feelings or not.
Well, that's good, because realistically, you're not hurting anybody. Those are just realizations they're not willing to deal with.
Right.
Because anytime you speak the truth will set them free if they allow it. If it doesn't, it will hurt them.
Right. Yeah,
we have to understand why it's so crucially important. To be honest, I had a conversation the other day about you can't trust everybody. And I said, yeah, you can. Because when you trust everyone, it means you trust yourself. When you trust people unconditionally, they usually have a tendency to show their true colors quicker because they think your guard's down.
Right, they open up to you.
Yeah, they sort of go, yeah. And you go, oh, look, bullshit. But each situation is different, and each situation has to be taken in account of what's actually really going on. Now, when people actually dead out rely to you on purpose, that's one thing. When people are actually telling you that I don't want to deal with a situation right now and disrespect me until I do come to that point where I can deal with it, I think those situations show that if you can give them respect to do that, then the respect you'll get back in return will probably be them coming forward and probably the most powerful relationship you ever had because you gave them the space and the respect to find it on their own.
Right.
So you see with your situation, listen to yourself. You tell everybody else bluntly.
Right.
Same thing to yourself.
I second guess myself all the time.
So I'm saying, listen to what you're saying. I'm very straightforward and honest and right in the, I mean, right there, boom, to everybody.
But myself.
But yourself. So you realize what I said before, when I said, take your own advice. As you're giving advice to others, take your own advice.
Right.
You know, if you sit there and tell somebody, I should listen to myself, and I should follow through with what I really want to do, then what you need to do is do the action and do it.
Right.
And then you're gonna see differences in your life because you're actually following through with it. Because people say, well, if you follow your heart, you get yourself in trouble. I said, are you an idiot? No, you didn't. Honestly, you sit there and you followed your heart for a period of time, and then you started thinking.
Yeah.
So therefore, they're trying to justify by saying, well, I fell in love, and it let me down. No, he didn't. Love never let anybody down. It's that other person on the other side who couldn't honor it and
mm-hmm.
give you the same back in return. That's what fell short, them, not
right.
you.
Yeah.
But when you look at the situation and say, okay, what's the reflection back at me about myself? It means you were honoring yourself. You were respecting yourself. People were going to sit there. Because I always tell people, stop being multi-faced. Stop thinking you have to have a face for everybody or a personality. A lot of people do it in business. They'll sit there and say, well, when you're a professional, you have to carry yourself a certain way. No, you don't. Because I guarantee you, the more honest you are about who you are, the more you're portraying yourself as an honest person too as well, and people are going to gravitate to you. Because when I sit there, people come to the funniest thing I've ever had is girls I've dated, say I meet someone on the internet or something like that, and then
yeah.
we meet each other face-to-face. The one thing that freaks them out the most is they say, well, you're just like you are on the phone, or you're just like you are on the internet. Was I supposed to be any different?
Right.
But people are not being themselves. Because I gave some advice the other day, and I told everybody, I said, why don't you try this? Instead of going out and meeting people and trying to basically
impress them. Yeah.
Stop making a good impression.
Right,
and just
exactly.
yourself.
Right.
And then you're going to see, because a lot of relationships are not working out because people are not being honest with themselves.
Well, they're not being themselves.
And we have this illusion that we think people are running away from us, when actually what those people are really doing is running away from themselves.
Right.
Because if they're a reflection of us about ourselves, we are too, we're reflections back at them about themselves. So what are they running away from? They're running away from the reflection of themselves. So they're running away from themselves.
Right.
Take the idea of meditation, work with the name Sally, talk to your angels, and then start listening to yourself. I think you're going to have a great month if you follow that.
I will. All right. Well, thank you very much.
You have a great night, and thank you for calling.
Me too. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. Let's go on to our next caller. Actually, we're going to sit there and go over a little quick thing with the information we said before. If you want to get a private reading with me, don't hesitate to sit there and pick the phone up and call me at 719-344-8699 or call me on my cell phone at 740-500-8699. How come I always get stuck on that one? 8863. Or contact me through my website at www.psychicxjourneyman.com. Right now, this month, we're having an October special where you can actually get four 45-minute sessions for $100. If you only want to get one session, 45-minute sessions only going for $40 this month. All right? So get in there because you want to get in as soon as possible because we don't want to sit, you know, slots are filling up very quickly. So therefore, get in there as quick as possible and get that information and get those questions answered. And I guarantee you, if you get a reading with me, it'd be one of the best readings you ever had. All right? There's also a couple companies I work for. I work for Keen. On Keen, it's a phone service. You go on the internet, call me. Right now, it's only $1.25 a minute. I also work for another company called Aranum.com where you can actually see me on webcam. So you actually get a chance to see me face-to-face, and we actually do webcam to webcam. On there, we also have a free chat where you can actually sit down and talk to us before you decide to do a reading, which I guarantee you cannot find anywhere else. Because if you come to my shop, you either make a decision to get a reading or you don't. We don't give, you know, you don't find a place like that. But here we are on Aranum. That's O-R-A-M-U-M, Aranum.com, where you can actually come into a chat room format, which is free chat, and you can talk to somebody before you make a decision if you want to get a private reading, okay? And they call me Psychic X Journey on there, and on Keen they call me Psychic X Journey Man. So it should be easy to find me, no problem at all, okay? All right, let's go on to our next caller, which is actually area code 780. Welcome to the show, and how are you?
Hey, it's Jake Holmes from Canada. How's it going?
I don't know, man. People keep asking me. I guess I'm pretty sure I'm going to have an answer, but it hasn't come to me yet, so how are you?
I'm doing okay. I got had a problem with the last employer, so I'm just trying to figure why I'm keep repeating this pattern. So.
Usually when you repeat patterns, it means you're not doing what you really want to do. You're doing it because you think you have to or some kind of perception. Because I was sitting there doing the same thing myself, and the idea of going, can't keep a job, can keep doing all this. And it was kind of amazing that when I started doing this kind of work, which was kind of funny because I also realized that I'd been doing this kind of work for a very long time just by talking to people and giving advice and that kind of stuff. Even when I was playing music, I used to be a singer in rock bands and used to manage and put bands together, that I was always using my intuition to decide who I wanted to hire or whatever because of my impression I got of them. When I was in high school, I used to give advice to people all the time about relationships because of my insights and my intuition. So I was like, it's kind of amazing. I've been doing this for a long time. But here I am going out and trying to do the job thing because that's what everybody kept on telling me that's what I needed to do. My mom was the worst. She was always like, when I was playing music, she goes, you'll never make any big money until you make it big. I said, okay, Mom, thanks. A lot of bigs in one sentence, but okay. But it was like, it's amazing how our families and some even our friends have a tendency to keep reaffirming the negative, not realizing we attracted those people into our lives, but they were supposed to be motivating us, not enabling us to keep doing the same crap over and over again. So I get the impression with you, what you need to do is you need to take a step back and look at the situation, ask yourself one question. If I could start a business on something I really love to do, and I could be successful at it, what would it be? And I always tell people, take the time, think about it, sit down, get a pad and pen, and then take that concept and start writing things down on this pad about how you can make it happen. And then don't be surprised that you have a list. And then follow it. Follow that list and create a business. Because realistically, if you look at the Bible, I always sit and use the Bible as an example. Jesus was self-employed. He was a carpenter. The fishermen,
yep.
They were self-employed. Okay, there was one insert in the Bible where it says the disciples are asking Jesus about the rich people and that kind of stuff. And he said it's hard for a rich man to get into heaven as it is to take a camel through the eye of the needle. Now, the eye of the needle meant to get into the city. That's what they call the entrance into the city. It's the eye of the needle because it was only made for humans. And what happened is the camel had to get down on its knees and crawl through because it wasn't tall enough. So it's hard for the camel to get through the eye of the needle, but not impossible. And that's what he was saying. And then the disciples come back and say, well, if that's the case, then who gets to go to heaven? See, they're taking into consideration, you know, it's hard for a rich man to get into heaven. And then they say, well, if that's the case, who gets to go to heaven? Did anybody ever wonder why they said that? Because they were all wealthy. Self-employment. And they all took care of themselves. They were great fishermen. If you read in the Bible, it talks about them being great fishermen. And then they walked away from these things to follow Jesus. In the process of doing all this stuff, they say these things. And you're sort of going, okay, but no one catches this stuff. It's kind of crazy that people are not catching the ideal of they're focusing on one thing. Abundance and prosperity is not a sin. It's actually a spiritual concept that no one's catching hold of. Somebody says, well, money's bad. And no, people are bad. Okay? Take a $5 bill. I want you guys to do this realistically. Take a $5 bill, put it on the table. Leave it there. I guarantee that $5 bill will not do nothing until you pick it up. So is money bad? No. It's the perception that we give it. Look at people's lives right now. If I don't have money, I'm nothing. Not realizing you've always been an awesome, fantastic person before you even knew the concept of what money was all about. When you sit there and tell somebody that money is a spiritual concept, they freak out. Whoa, 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 no. Money cannot be a spiritual concept because it's always been the root of evil. No, it's not. It's some dumbass who went out there and said that to make you freak out because he wanted all your money. Okay? So when we sit here and look at the situation and we say, okay, if that's not true, then how can you call it a spiritual concept? Because it's a physical manifestation of giving and receiving. It's the same thing with love. Love is a physical manifestation of giving and receiving. So when you refuse to receive someone's love, it also cuts off you giving because you're scared you're not worthy of giving that love. So you see how these things work on each other? So why are we not more successful? It's because we don't believe in those concepts. We sit here and fall into the world perception that says right now the economy sucks. The economy doesn't exist unless there were people who exist. So therefore, if you trace it back to the root of people, it's our perceptions that makes the economy bad. Who wants to sit there and let the government support them when all they really believe in is lack and limitation? So you take a look at the situation where I always sit there and focus on the ideal of self-employment. Self-employment means self-reliance. You don't rely on anyone. Now, some people will sit there and look at you and go, well, you rely on people you work with. And not really. It's a unity. When you sit back and look at the situation of manifestation, you're manifesting your wants, needs, and desires into a physical manifestation and physical reality. But you're the one that created the whole thing. They're just people who are a part of that manifestation. So basically, we're all working together. And they're not supporting you. It's like the Omega. The Omega says there's no ending and no ending. No ending and no beginning. It's a continuous. It's the same thing with people and same thing with life. That's what we call the flow. Prosperity. Abundance. Continuous. Unlimited. So you look at the situation, if you're feeding any kind of limitation in your life, any kind of limitation, I don't have a job. Because I've had this conversation so many times, I said, how can you be abundant? And the person, first thing they say is, I got to have a job. Not realizing that you have to have the perception of abundance and prosperity in your mind, focusing on it, believing it beyond the shadow of a doubt before you can actually attract that abundance and prosperity in the process of having money and all your materialistic needs met. But at the same time, usually when these things are balanced out, it's not just the idea of having your materialistic needs satisfied, more than likely it will also be a life partner who goes along with it. So you see how everything kind of works together as a yin and a yang kind of thing, and why we need to put that in balance and perspective?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do.
So the idea of you having a job could be something that happens in 2 days, but it's the idea of what you want. So the world says, I mean, I sit and listen to the news. That's why I don't listen no more. Jobless. I look at the people who are jobless. They're also focusing on what people are telling them. There's hard times. But when you take a step back and look at the people who are working, they're hearing the same stuff. They just have a different perception. Right. They either feed into it or they don't feed into it. So we have to stop feeding into it, thinking that our jobs are our lives. Realize they're just percentages of it. The rest of it has always been us. So you have any questions?
Interesting perspective on that.
That's why I make the big bucks.
Yeah, so I know. What did the cards say actually about this then?
When I looked at the cards, they're talking about the idea that with great sadness has tendency to have bad outcomes. So it's like taking time to heal.
Yep.
And also forgiving oneself and others in the process, because I understand parents. Well, I've been there myself, but it wasn't until I actually rose above that and realized that they could only give me what they had been taught too,
mm-hmm.
which wasn't working for me. Believe me. So that, 'cause I've had people before, the job things never worked for me. But we have different people say, well, you're lazy. No, I'm just looking at things differently. What you refuse to do, and you keep trying to pull me back into believing what you're believing. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work.
Right.
But it was when I sat there and decided to do something that I really wanted to do, which I feel I'm getting pulled into all the time anyway. It was just the idea to embrace one's life purpose, to realize that once you do, everything's pretty much taken care of for you. So, because we have had people before, I look at them and go, why do you keep resisting your life purpose? I don't know if I can make a living at it. I'm not realizing that. Think about this, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Even if you had a job, you're not going to be successful at that job unless you take the actions to do so. So therefore, when we look at the situation, don't we always trace the source of your success back to you? And the job, the people and the situations were just opportunities to manifest that into reality.
Right.
So what do you want? What do you want to do? What is your life thing? And also another thing, too, I tell people all the time, I've done too many things. These are not theories. These are things I lived. That when you sit there and want to sit there and manifest something into reality, it's amazing what the accuracy you can have with the situation. I mean, I actually walked into a freaking motor vehicles. I didn't know at the time I walked in there that my license had been revoked for 6 years. But I walked in with the attitude of saying, I'm going to walk in here, get my driver's license, and walk out. And it's exactly what I did. It wasn't until later I went back to Ohio and realized my license had been revoked for 6 years.
Mm.
Most people would say, well, there's no way you could have done that. Yes, but the point is, I did. Okay, they're saying, well, it must have been a computer glitch. Yeah, but why did the computer glitch happen at the same time I walked in to get my driver's license?
Right.
And then ask yourself, how much control do we really have? It's starting to sound like we have a lot more than we think. It's like when I said earlier, the situations, that's not the only time I've ever done that. I was kind of amazed, too, because people, after I got my driver's license, it's like almost everybody I talked to said, how'd you do that? I don't know how I did it. All I know is my intent when I walked in there was to get my driver's license, and that's exactly what I walked out with. I've done it with cell phones. I've done it with apartments. The only thing I've never done it with is realistically on things I didn't really want. They didn't pan out. And the reason they didn't pan out is because I really didn't want them. That was one time I was in Florida. I said, I need to go get a job. And I was, and this is, I swear to you, this is exactly how it happened. I was working for a labor, working for a spot labor place. And I sat there and said one day, they're taking us out to the landfill. I'm actually surrounded by chemicals. And I started getting cysts on my neck and underneath my arms. And I said, okay, God, this is not a healthy place for me to be working. So could you please, like, take me somewhere else? Well, 2 days later, they stopped sending me out there. I'm like, hey, I need that job. I'm sort of going, hold up. You know, like my angels and guides came in and said, well, you said that you want to get away from here. You need to have faith in what you've asked for. So I did. I went home. I sit in my apartment, and I sit there and go, well, what am I going to do? And my guides and angels said, well, just sit down and read one of your spiritual books. Because that's what I used to do. I used to go to the spot labor places. I would take a spiritual book with me, and I would actually read that book while I'm there. If it was affirmations or whatever, I would take them with me, always having great success, right? This was one of the most amazing things I've ever seen happen because people will constantly sit there and tell you bullshit all the time. You need to go out there. You need to walk your butt off. You need to wear those shoes out and find a freaking job. That's what you got to do, man. I'm sitting there going, no, you don't. Why don't you sit there and do it logically? Your angels and guides, God and guidance that you get, is to save you that hassle, to save yourself from walking yourself to death. And I'll tell you why, because I went home, I sit down, my angel said, why don't you read that spiritual book right there? I think I will. I like that book. I opened the book. This business card fell out that I had acquired 2 months prior.
Mm-hmm.
Something prompted me to call that number. I had a job in 20 minutes without even leaving the house. I went to work that night. I sit there and I also affirmed I wanted to keep that job for 6 months. Do you know I kept that job for exactly 6 months? But I didn't affirm anything after that. So I was actually unemployed for a long time after that because I was sitting there going, what happened? And they're sitting there going, well, what most people have a problem with is when they start manifesting stuff, once they manifest something, they have a tendency not to manifest until something drastically happens again. Then they put themselves in a state of, I need to manifest something because I got myself in this situation. Not realizing if you keep asking for, because I think a lot of us say, okay, I got $1 million. Then they get scared. I already have $1 million, so I don't think I should ask for more. Not realizing that you're entitled to an unlimited flow. But some people, you have to have an unlimited flow of also positive thinking in your mind, too. I feel like you can have a job in 2 weeks. I can almost hear you thinking, I need an answer.
That's what a lot of people say when they're going for. I'm just going to put my resumes out and stuff like that. So I put that
intention
out there.
Use a visualization, okay? You only need one job. You only need one person to say you're hired. You only need one person to look at your resume and say, I like this. When can you start? And that's the visualization you should work with.
Mm.
I had a friend of mine who was trying to sell her house. Her realtor said, well, the economy sucks. You need to lower your price. And then she comes to me and she goes, I don't want to lower my price. And I said, then don't. I want you to sit there and go out there. I want you to ask. I want you to sit there and say, this is what I want to sell my house for. And I want you to sit there and let it go. And then I want you to sit there and detach yourself from your life and your home because you want to go back to California. Okay? And I want you to picture a guy coming to you with what you want for your house saying, I'll take it. You only need one person. Don't get caught in this freaking crap of these freaking people out here saying you got to have all these people walking through your house to sell it. It's like with your situation, too. It's not a numbers game. It's the idea of intent and what you want. Do you want to go through 10 job interviews before you actually get the job you want? Or do you want the job you want? I hope you say that you want the job you want.
I always say, what the job I choose.
Yeah, there you go, the job you choose, yeah. I'm just saying, when you look at these situations, this concept, my friend was amazed when she sold her house in a week because her realtor told her, you know, the economy is this, da-da-da-da-da. You know, it's going to take a while to sell this house. I said, oh, forget him. Fire him. Give me the percentage, you know. The 10% you're going to give him, give me the 10%, you know. And then later on, I think she even said that. She goes, I wish I would have just given it to you because you actually helped me sell my house in a week. She said, I had him for a couple of months. And we were just never getting anywhere. So, you know, I sit here and look at the situation of success. What do you want to look at? What kind of relationship you want? What kind of job you want? Or do you want a job or do you want a career? That seems like to me like you're more career-oriented than anything else. And you should be focusing on that.
Yeah.
Seriously, when I sit here and focus on it, my impression very seriously is 2 weeks.
Okay.
Okay? But I also feel like that there's still some things within yourself that you need to change your perception that can actually change the outcome where it can be quicker. Okay?
That's true. That's true.
If you have any problems, just let me know. Or I always tell people, contact me for personal work, because sometimes there's just only things you can do on the air.
And also you're pretty reasonable too, so, you know, like I said, you're pretty reasonable actually, pretty reasonable for what you're getting, so.
Mm-hmm.
Compared to other people. So you did a good job of kind of like counseling and a little bit angel reading or half and half, so.
Oh, yeah, I've had people come to me and say, how many years of psychology have you had? And to tell you the truth, zero.
Yeah.
I have not gone to college for anything. My thing is the ideal of, but I wouldn't sit there and say I haven't done the research, okay? I read the books. I've done all myself. I also have a different perception of looking at people and going, okay, psychology is somebody else's theory.
Mm-hmm.
You know, physics, that's someone else's theory that we've been teaching and sending down the masses. And how we've had great strides in changing in these, what do you want to call that? In these fields,
mm-hmm.
they have expanded from when they first started,
right,
because of people looking at these things and using them as blueprints, but then expanding on it with their own wisdom, their own perceptions. So we've all this stuff has progressed, but it all has to do with human concept, you know, of people looking within themselves and then developing further and further. So psychology and all this stuff has really progressed, but it didn't progress because of what we read in books. It's what those people did with what they read in those books and then went one step further with their own theories, what they felt, with their own observations.
Right.
Seriously. And I took the same concept of working with people. I mean, after you work with 1,000 and 1,000 people, and you really focus, it's because I was talking about earlier, so when you listen to yourself and follow your heart and who you are, your guides and angels, where do you think all this guidance and all this knowledge came from? There's a source. We can all tap into it. I'm just kind of like right now not too happy with education anyway. I think it's become more of a business than it has really any kind of anything else.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, look, we got doctors and nurses and teachers and all these other people, and now it's becoming a money thing, which is actually, to me, is kind of like really belittling exactly what they were created for in the first place. Because money is, if you look at the situation like with the secret and all these other things, if you really look at those concepts, money's easy to manifest. So we don't have to do things. I think it's why a lot of people gravitated towards Star Trek, because Star Trek's actually based on people living, you know, focusing on careers and what they want to do with their lives, but there's no money involved.
Yeah.
Everybody gets what they want because of what they put into their careers. So they're able to focus entirely on these situations and themselves.
Mm-hmm.
It's just great and fantastic, I think. You take money out of the equation, that's when we get these great leaps. I think we would actually be living on Mars right now if it wasn't for money.
Mm-hmm.
Because people are sitting there going, well, we don't have the budget to do this. See, if we had a concept and an idea and we just did it, do you realize how far we could be?
Very far.
Yeah. So now we've got this thing. Because I was there telling somebody, I said, hey, guys, when we were focusing on the idea of manifestation,
mm-hmm.
we were focusing on manifesting lives, manifesting our dreams into reality, not the idea of the concept of money. Money was not the focus. Money is a tool.
Mm.
I mean, do you have a ambitious to have 10,000 hammers?
Yeah, different color ones.
Oh, is that what it is? But I'm just saying, you know, people sit there and go, okay, money's a tool. I need $10,000. Okay, do you need 10,000 hammers? It's the same concept.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because if you can manifest anything you want, eventually money drops out of the picture.
Yeah.
Because I was sitting there telling a friend of mine, I was like, okay, we had a lawyer come on the show one day. I was like, well, this is what's going to happen. He said, and the guy looked at me and said, hey, I just imagine you looking at me, because we were on the radio, because I don't know if he was looking at me or not, but I always get that image, people looking at me when I say things, like, what are you talking about? And I sit there and said, he came on the show, and he's like, hey, I've been listening to you, but in the real world, you got to get a job. I said, okay, sir, I understand that, but how did you get that job? It was a thought, you manifested into reality. He goes, okay, what else? I said, I don't just manifest things. I manifest situations and people and everything else that works with me. I said, I'm actually, the apartment I'm living in right now, I actually had this apartment for 2 weeks, signed the lease and everything else before I paid anything on it. And people sit there and look at me and say, that's impossible. I said, did you just hear what I just said? Your perception is telling you it's impossible when I just told you it just happened. It's amazing how perception can hold you back. Well, at least the lawyer was, I was kind of freaked out when the lawyer actually opened his mind. There's a concept, huh? Okay, anyway. But I sit there and told him flat out, it wasn't the ideal of just the situations. It's also the people, my landlord. I remember this, too. I'm sitting there going, he looked at me and says, okay, so I need you to pay this money on the 1st. I said, I don't get paid on the 1st. I get paid on the 8th. He goes, oh, okay, no problem. We'll just switch this to the 8th. And that guy goes, that's impossible. These don't do that kind of stuff. You got to either pay or you don't. They won't let you have it. Yeah, that's your reality. My reality says anything I want, I can have. Anything I want, I can create. Anything else that can fall into situation, because I've seen it too many times. Mm-hmm. The first time you manifest something, as the most people call a miracle, it changes your perception of what you can do, and you stop focusing on what you can't do. So start focusing on that too, and say, you know something, is it really possible to have a job tomorrow? I say yes. Now, if you want to get what you really want, as you said before, I want the job that I want, I still see 2 weeks. So I just want to put that out there and make sure you understand what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I understand what you're talking about, yeah.
Yeah. So like I said before, you want to sit down and do a session with me? Just let me know. I'd be glad to sit down and work with you, okay?
Yes, yes.
Do you have any more questions before you go?
No, I'm kind of wondering why I got fired, actually.
Let's put it this way. Do you need to put a sign on your boss's forehead that said, you manifested this, so get the hell out of here?
Interesting way you put that.
Because I always tell people, do we have to put X's on our, well, arrows on our on the people that fire us to realize they're pointing us into a different direction of something better? Because we don't need to deal with these people. These people have a tendency to make us feel like if it wasn't for me, you wouldn't have anything. And that's just not true. There was opportunities that have actually run their course, and now it's time to move on. So instead of trying to figure out why you got fired, ask yourself, did you ever say that you wanted to get away from there? Even if you put the thought out there one time, it seemed like it manifested into reality, and now you're no longer there. So take it as a positive sign that something better is coming in your life, okay?
That's true. Okay.
All right. Thank you for calling in. Appreciate it. You have a fantastic night.
I will.
And let us know how things go, okay?
Oh, sure, for sure. I will. Thank you.
All right. You have a great night. Bye-bye now.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Let's go into our next caller. What do you say? Let's go into area code 773. Welcome to the show, and how are you? What's your name? Don't you love it when people do this? Hello, 773. Are you there?
Oh, hello. It's me, Missy Carmen. How are you?
I was like, you're the third me that called me tonight. Anyway, so how are you?
Well, you know, today is an average day, so I can't complain.
That's good.
And how are things with you?
I can complain a lot. Anyway. I won't. I'll keep that to myself. I'm just joking. But repeat your name one more time.
Well, my name is Carmen.
Carmen.
Yes.
That's what I thought, because you threw me off in the first part. It's like, I've heard this lady's voice before. So how can we help you tonight?
Well, I've been going through some things, and I don't know if it has to do with the persona that I give off or, person's perception of me.
Mm-hmm.
But, I'm having, unfortunately, financial difficulties and such. And I just don't know. I think it stems from what I'm giving off.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know if you can sense what it is that my vibration or what it could possibly be that's holding me back from achieving my various goals.
Oh, yeah, I can pick up very quickly. It's the idea of how you feel about yourself. So you're looking at a situation, I always tell people, it's like when we started talking about with chakras and auras and stuff like that. It's amazing how some of these things that we have within ourselves that we've picked up along the way that we don't realize are still with us. I had a lady who was told when she was 8 years old, one time she would never amount to nothing. That one thought stuck with her for a very long time until she was like in her 40s. And then when she finally realized that thought, someone had actually told her that and she let it go, everything opened up for her. I just had a friend of mine I was talking to too earlier where I was simply telling her that she's worthy, that she deserves it. And it's the idea because she was starting to think about it for a minute. She's like, I always seem to, you know, things are working really good and that kind of stuff, but I always seem to be behind on my rent and all this kind of stuff. Why? And it was just tracing it back to realizing that she didn't feel like she was worthy of actually being on time with her rent. She didn't think she was worthy and deserving of those opportunities. And as soon as she started realizing she was, it was amazing how everything turned around for her and started getting better. I did the same thing too. I was living in Ohio trying to get back here into Colorado. And one day I just sit there and said, you know something? I went to Colorado once before and it didn't cost me anything and I deserve to do it again. Right. And the next thing I know, my mom came to me and agreed with the terms I had given to her about helping my brother with his house that actually netted me a bus ticket back to Colorado. And I did not spend a dime to get here. And I was like, that was kind of funny. All I said was, I deserve. And it changed everything. It's almost like my mind was lit.
That's interesting that you say, you know, I deserve, because that's a very difficult concept for me. I don't know if it's something that may have been told to me at a younger age, and it's something, but that's something that I've been fighting for a very long time, as feeling worthy of success. I don't know if it's something that I end up, you know, I have opportunities, but then I end up messing them up in some way because I maybe not feel that I'm deserving of it. So that is that's interesting that you mentioned that.
And sometimes with the situation, you can also trace it back to religious factors too, where people say sacrifice, and then your parents will come in and give you their perception of what sacrifice means. Okay, and then you carry that with you, of thinking, okay, well, I have to put myself in certain situations, or the term you have to do your dues, you have to go through your dues before you can actually be successful, and this is just otherworldly concepts of people who had to go through certain things, and that was what they came up with of why it took them so long to do what they want to do. Because I've seen people do things very quickly because their perception is different. That keeps telling they can do anything they want, and they have a tendency to acquire things and make great strides, okay?
Right.
And then you look at the other people and then go, okay, it's just the idea of sitting back and observing people and watching their mouths, and watch what they say, watch what they do. And then you can almost see why their lives are the way they are, because of what they speak out their mouths. You know, I don't mean to correct people sometimes, but when people say, I can't afford something, I'm like, why? Well, I have no money. Well, who says you have to have money to get anything? There's so many things in our past lives. If we look at our lives and we look at the things that we did acquire without even thinking about it, you'll realize they didn't happen because you had money. They happen because you put your intentions out there. For example, relationships.
Yes.
Relationships don't cost money. But right now, the concept of what people are perceiving right now, they think it is. So if they don't have money, they don't have a relationship. And plus, this is another thing I was talking about before too. If you're focusing on money as your foundation, when your money's gone, you have no foundation. You feel lost. That's why I think a lot of people who get fired feel lost, because they've been told the job is the core of your life, and it's not. The core of your life is you.
And I briefly learned that lesson, but I think I've lost that. And I have to get back to that realization of what defines me. It's not money.
if you're a spiritual being, anything in this world will not define you, because nothing in this world is spiritual. The only spiritual thing in this world is you and everybody else who's spiritual as a spiritual being. But the cars and the trees, and when we put them on materialistic levels, they're not spiritual things. The only reason that things in our lives are spiritual is because we are connected to them, or we've touched them in some way.
Right.
You know,
mm-hmm.
Seriously.
I guess I have to get back to my spiritual self and weigh things and measure things properly and put them into perspective.
Mm-hmm. So just take one step back and say, every time you do anything, just tell yourself you deserve it. I have these certain affirmations I use from time to time where I just say, this is a simple one. My income far exceeds all my wants, needs, and desires, now and always. So therefore, as long as I define what my wants, needs, and desires are, by putting that affirm out there, my income always far exceeds those.
Well, that's an affirmation I need to practice as well.
Yeah, and a simple one here, I think, is I now have prosperity and abundance in all areas of my life. I'm trying to figure out the one. I have this one where it's like, I am a money magnet. You know, can we also put down anything else that goes with the situations of relationships and stuff? I'm still working on that one. I've actually got the one. The ones I like the most are the ones we put in third person. The first, second, and third person, their affirmations were, you'll sit there and tell yourself, in the first person, you'll go, Donnie, you have a satisfying income of $10,000 a month. And then you'll do it the second person where you go, Donnie has a satisfying income of $10,000 a month. I think I got that right. I got it. You say, I, Donnie, have, and then you say, and then I said, put it, I do have a satisfying income of $10,000 a month. And then you put the third person where it says, Donnie does have a satisfying income of $10,000 a month. And it's amazing when you put those things in that perspective that you see some great changes in your life, even if it's only on a small scale. It's one thing I liked about The Secret. In The Secret, Jack Canfield says that he focused on the idea of manifesting $100,000 income. At the end of the year, he didn't make $100,000, but he did go from making $8,000 to $93,000. He says some people are cynical, and they'll sit there and say, well, since he hit the $100,000, that the concept didn't work. But he says you have to look at the idea. Your life changed drastically from one to the other, so therefore the concept did work. So your perception changed the outcome because you changed your perception. So changing your thinking will change your life.
Yes, I'm going to have to. And I believe that. And unfortunately, I just haven't been exercising that in any way. I don't know if it's the times. You hear so much doom and gloom. I need to just give all that up.
Stop watching television.
Yeah, exactly. And just focus on things that are uplifting, that can help fortify my being and you know, my spirit.
Mm-hmm. That's the point, too, of realizing spiritual being is actually pure energy. So therefore, with pure energy, there is no limitations. That's what we were saying earlier in the show. We were talking about you are a complete, perfect, whole being. And the only reason you don't think you are is your perception.
And that's what's going to have to change.
Yes. Seriously, change your thinking, change your life.
Well, now, thank you ever so much.
You're welcome.
It's been great speaking with you, and you've been most helpful.
I'll tell everybody, okay?
I sure will. Hey,
right.
I'll let you get on to the next, but thank you ever so much.
You're welcome.
And you have a fabulous evening.
You too. Thank you.
All right. Goodbye now.
Bye-bye. You too. And here we go. All right, guys, let's go on to our next caller, which is actually, I think, a private call. That's actually 1111111, which I like the ones because their ones are basically like 11s, 11s or manifestation numbers.
I'm going to say, is that me?
That is you.
Hi. Hey, I just wanted to tell you, I'm loving your show, and I often just click on different people on Blog Talk, and you sort of drew me in today. I was sitting here, believe it or not, doing some typesetting on a book that I have, I wouldn't say hesitated in bringing out, but I wrote it a few years back, and I got to tell you, you said something on your show that I had just did a cut and paste in the beginning of my book, because I was talking to a PR lady the other day, and she said, oh, well, it's much easier if you have those letters after your name to promote you in the field of being kind of, I don't want to be an expert, but, you know, offering a different solution. And my book is called New Energy Parenting, and I had just put in the very beginning, degree-free psychology is the heading, and I put, there are no degrees or PhDs to back up my material, nor do I need to share the knowledge, or do I need to have one to share the knowledge I have accumulated over the years. This information is in the box, and this is how changes are made by people like me who push the system into changing the way we teach our children so the next generation will be so much better for mankind. And my book is completely the opposite in parenting, in the sense that I have kind of like phrased it, the out of control parent creates the overly controlled parent creates the out of control kid. And it kind of is about like what you were talking about, all of that freedom. But it was just so funny that I was saying this. I thought, I mean, I put it as the first page, read it. I don't need a degree to share information. That's such a false pretense in this in society, that people rely on people only because they have letters. But the thing is, with psychology, is that most of the people that have letters behind their name are learning from the same books, the same system, and the same people. They're basically just churning out and not expanding, which is what I'm saying is outside the box. So. You too.
Holy. Oh my gosh. Sorry, I just put some information in the chat room that no one should have actually saw. Whoops. Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway. No, I understand. I've sat here and, you know, it's amazing the ideal people listening, and then afterwards they ask you questions about your qualifications. And I was like, what, you know, to me personally, when people do that kind of stuff, they're questioning what they hear. But realistically, they're questioning themselves of what they're willing to believe and what resonates with them.
Well, that's all I ask, is if it resonates with you, then it, you know, it hits home. But otherwise, it's okay. You can let it go. Without judgment. But I mean, my book is the opposite of how parents diminish children by this excessive punishment and, you know, this naughty chair stuff. And then I realized, I mean, a kid, you try and stick a spoon in a baby's mouth at, you know, 6 months old, and it's in control. I mean, it closes its mouth and turns its face. No, I don't want that. And they do it at two. You know, they're so punished and naughty cheered and time out and fingers in their face and you bad person. And they wonder what happens to their children. You know, they start to internalize and hold all of those emotions in. So it's the base of, I'm putting myself out there. You know, it's like, I feel like it's my time. I should just sort of put it together, you know. I know there's a certain energy that for myself in manifesting is that hiding behind the fear of being known. It's like,
okay.
You really can't get known by doing something so radical. And so I'm prepared for that.
Mm-hmm.
Because the thing that's bad in my book, it's just another way of looking at it. The system. But I'm also an author. If I can plug my other book to you, I just wrote a novel called The Starseeds, Beyond Time, about a little Earth boy who runs away and ends up in a crystal cave and meets a galactic boy. And he goes through why he's returned to the planet and a lot of what's happened to the planet and purposely dashed up soul. And so while he's in the cave, he ends up elevating his consciousness into different levels and meets many different masters and realms and guides and goes through portals. And it's all very exciting, you know. It's a very colorful novel. So anyway, do you have any good feelings about that one?
Sure. Sorry, I was like focusing on the situation going, man, I can sit here and look at the situation. All it keeps telling me over and over again is the idea of focusing on it being exactly what you want it to be and watch it unfold.
Yeah.
So it will definitely become something that you see very clearly, very quickly, too.
Yeah.
Always, you know, it's like we don't see millions and millions of dollars, but we do see that the success that you want to attain with it coming a whole lot easier than you think. And that's what we're saying. It's the perception you feel right now at this moment. You're very positive. I'm not saying you're not. I'm just saying when I pick up on it with the guides and angels, we're just saying, you know, there still needs to be some things you need to let go of that can actually still stand in your way from time to time.
I do. I think it's that fear of being known. You know, like you're like the thing about writing and being an author is that you have that privacy of just being in that imaginary world and writing or writing your text or whatever. But the only way that it can be seen is by putting it out there. So you have to make yourself the vehicle to put it out there. And I'm dealing with that, but it's getting closer. Because they're very powerful projects, you know, and I have a lot of, I know a lot of spirit and protection around me and information that's given to me to put out. You know I have the vehicle of manifesting. I've manifested a lot of things, like very similar stories to what you say, you know, walk past a house and I think, oh, I love that house. I'd love to live there. And boom, the next thing I know that I've got to move and the girl that lives behind the house says, oh, they just moved out today.
That's kind of incredible when you do that, because I remember when I was living in Ohio, I saw a couple of houses that wasn't even for sale. And I would just sit there and go, I love to just go in that house. It'd be great if that house would just come up for sale so I could call them up and just want to go look inside of it. And then 2 weeks later, the house came up on the market as sale, for sale. And I was like, that's freaky. But let's go look at the house. So we went to go look at the house just like that. And it was like, whoa, okay. You know, it was like I was saying before when I had the freaking thing going back to Colorado. And now I'm trying to do the same thing with relationship where I look at a person and go, I really like that person and I would love to be in a relationship with that person right now. To actually see what unfolds. I think I've done it before in the past. I don't think I just never really took a notice of it. But this time I saw this person to the point where the first thing that came to me was 4 lifetimes. And this is our 5th together, which is going to basically be better than the last 4. So it's like one of those things of having confidence in yourself to say, let it go, and then you'll be living it.
Yeah. I was just going to say, when you get really close to energy like that, you know, that you see something and it feels instant, like, boom, I know that, it can either work that the other person, if their divine timing is not lined up for it, it can actually make them sidestep backwards because your power is so powerful. And on a soul level, they know. Because recently, well, many years ago, I saw a man on TV once talking. And on Merv Griffin, I don't know if you go back that far, but in years.
Merv Griffin. I used to love that show.
Yeah. Well, he did.
He walks funny.
He started to have people like Rampo on and spiritual people, and he had this man called Lawrence Blair who had just written a book on all of the Ring of Fire, and he jumped on this chair and sat like a yogi, cross-legged, not like yogi, but cross-legged.
Right, I know what you mean.
And he started talking about Bali, and Bali this, Bali that, and I went, oh, man, I love that guy. Because I had lived in Bali myself about the time that he was writing these books in a bamboo hut, but I never met him. Went out the next night, and he's standing right next to me, you know. And I said, oh, you're the man that I saw on TV. And there he was. And I recently saw another man on TV, and I thought, wow, I would love him to turn this novel that I have into a film. And I instantly put it on Facebook about his film. He was on Oprah talking and things. You know, I love his documentary. This is, I was just sharing his energy out there. Instantly, a girlfriend turned around and beat me. She said, oh, my God. He was married to my best girlfriend. And so I called her and I said, really? She said, oh, I was the head bridesmaid at the wedding. And I went, well, you can't. I called it the golden pyramid, where I find when I'm really supposed to connect with somebody or supposed to learn from something from somebody, there's always that instant golden triangle that I'm 1 degree separation of another degree to that person. Do you see? When I first came to America, I met a man in Hawaii at the airport that I noticed things around me, and I really noticed people who smile at me. It's almost like a beacon that they're sending out, like, hello, know you, past life. You know, you can feeling that you're saying with that woman that you're going through and your energy. It's that beacon that goes. And I came all the way to America to see a man with a rock band. Oh, you'll love that. I was my rock band day.
I do.
And I sat on his fence of his property without his address and watched the sunset the first night I slept in L.A. in a house. I went for a walk. But I looked at his property within an hour of being L.A., drinking a glass of water, looking at the valley in L.A., and within not even a quarter of a mile across the valley was his property, and I'm looking at it, not knowing it's his property.
Oh, wow.
When I have mentioned this before, and I say to people, why do you think that was? And for me, I realized, you know, many years, you know, you can go back to the, oh, I understand the law of attraction, I understand this and manifesting, but if I go back to plain energy of the moment, I was in a state of bliss. I was in a state of, I wouldn't say in love, but love, the love of the joy of traveling, the love of the excitement. I was at my plateau of harmony, you know, and when you're really in harmony with the universe, it always lines up very quickly. And I think that's what we're all going into, and that's what you're a teacher of. I could hear it in everything you were saying before, which I enjoyed. So
are you still in the States? Hello?
Yeah. It's a good time to be alive. You know, it really
are
is.
So you're still in the States?
Yes, yeah. I live in Los Angeles. And,
okay.
Everything is moving so fast. That's why I'm saying it's a good time to be alive. You know, we don't have to wait to manifest things. You know, they come in really fast. It's just a matter of, like, really lining it up and being in that space as well.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and, it is. It definitely is. Because, you know, the one thing I was interested in focusing on, too, people were talking about the idea of focusing on the old times, mystics and that kind of stuff. Even the idea of the term New Age, I don't understand what it came from. Because the concepts themselves are thousands of years old. Manifestation is nothing new.
I think it's really the birthing of the new. I think there is a newness in the sense that it's sort of like we're all becoming clearer of who we are and the evolution of who we've become and where we've come from. And so we can go into this sort of this new space that we're going into, or the new mindset, you know. Like, like the what you were just telling a few of your callers, you know, some of them didn't have the concept of what you were saying, but now the pennies drop because of that new thought that you've implanted, like a new way of looking at it. And I think, you know, whether anybody wants to give it a label or, you know, give it that the 2012 energy is this and this and that is, it's like somebody asked me in another radio show I was actually a guest on recently, and what did I think? And I said, well, to be honest, you wouldn't have this show right now if you, and like others, weren't consciously moving in that direction. So we are all collectively moving and expanding. And I said, your show is expanding and I'm expanding. And this consciousness is moving in the right. You see it all the time on television with like little inklings on shows that will come up with premises along that line. Not that I dwell on it or watch them, but you can see 10, 15 minutes and go, oh, okay, well, they're planting that image. Or, you know, Bruce Willis has got a new movie out now that's about time travel and going back. And, you know, so that's an implant of information along with Avatar or whatever. They all come about. But the thing to me about this industry is that people are jumping into it in a sense of jumping out of one into the other, but they're taking the same energy from one into the other. Like they might be jumping out of their concept of religion and churches and taking that same energy and jumping over to this kind of new energy spiritual kind of realm. And and then they're getting caught up being like an awe of somebody else, or, you know, somebody that's, I don't want to say a speaker or a way or, you know, past the plate, you know, it's another form of support me. You know, and that is, I think, kind of like you always get the charlatan turned shaman or the shaman turned charlatan. You know, that kind of energy that comes along sometimes. So people have to be, like this man said to me once, and I said, we're getting to the point where we have to be our own preacher. Like you said, you have to follow your own words. You can't tell somebody and then not do it yourself. And to myself, I mean, I walked past some trash the other day that I was, like, I was cleaning my window at a gas service station and I dropped the tissue, but I put the other tissues in the trash, but I didn't realize I dropped one, and I went to get in the car and I saw it, and I was like, should I get in, get out, should I pick it up? And I thought, what? How can I expect a conscious planet, how can I expect our oceans to be clean if I can't get out of the car and pick up my own trash? So it's walking the walk, you know? I am very conscious of things like that in myself, of finding...
Well, we also were talking about I was sitting here talking yesterday on the show. We were talking about Jesus. Jesus never asked for anything. He just created. When he had the masses, he took fish, took bread, fed everybody, never asked for anything in return. Also, when he speaks, the truth is powerful. It doesn't have to be done anything else. That's why I always have trouble with preachers and stuff. You know, dancing across the stage, the theatrics and the whole thing. And I was like, you know, the truth is the truth, and the truth is so powerful, it doesn't need anything to make it more than what it is.
Absolutely. Yeah. But you see, that's the flock. You know, the flock to, you know, run to someone to lead them because they don't really know how to lead themselves yet. And I think when we all step into our own power of being our own leader, that's when we really grow on the path. And the obstacles are there.
One thing that bugs me the most about the government is how they talk about creating things when they don't create nothing but chaos. Because I was sitting up, they were saying we created this many jobs. No, you didn't. The idea, the concept, it was just something was going to happen, and then someone comes in and takes credit for it. Because I was sitting there talking about the situation. Because the one thing that bugged me the most was this one lady was freaking out because she said technology is taking people's jobs, and I said no, technology is taking us into a different direction that we don't feel like we don't have to to fall in the concept of working for other people, it actually puts us in another format of actually working for ourselves, where we can actually contribute to more to the masses. Because, like I said before at the beginning of the show, I sat there and said, hey, when you work with yourself and you actually make yourself an example that ever the other people can see, at that moment of changing your life, you change somebody else's too as well because of the example you set out.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, like when the government and people that are running for office and they make statements, you know, the 47% statements and things like that, and, you know, this amount of people don't want to work. Well, in reality, people don't want to work for slave labor. You know, they don't want to work 80 hours a week just to pay rent and pay food. You know, they don't see the point of getting $5 an hour anymore when they know their bosses are making $1,000 a minute. And, you know, the future is not going to be in industries where people are so like the ownership of, when you look at a leader that has such excess, who wants to be a leader and has such excess, you say, why do you need that much excess? You know, where's the joy of taking that excess away from the people that work for you or not? And it always trickles down. I mean, people can say they have all of, you know, that trickles down, but it doesn't trickle down in consciousness. Because if you know that the man that, you know, comes in at night after everybody's gone and it's a maintenance man cleaning the floor for, you know, his $10 an hour, you know, he doesn't have any benefits. There's no consciousness that he's struggling, you know, that he's part of that corporation and struggles in his life to keep his life in order so that so few benefit. And that's what I see is why people don't want to work right now. They don't want to be in those positions of knowing that they're working for basically that slave owner mentality.
Well, we sit here and look at the situation, too, where it was kind of funny. I can actually use the same time of Jesus' time, where we sit here and go, okay, what's the difference between Jesus' time and our time? The slaves get paid, and they get maybe insurance. That's the difference. Those positions, slavery and service and solitude and all those other things, they were there then, too. They still exist. So they're just in a different format. And I look at situations and say, if you take it down to the freaking, if you really look at those people and how come they can never get past a certain point, it's the precision, it's how they feel about themselves. I mean, I've seen people who work from week to week who you think would have, you know, would be really above what they're doing, but all they think about is making 40 hours, making this amount of money, from week to week to week. That's all they think about. They don't think past that. But then again, they don't think they're actually worthy or worth anymore, because if we sit there and look at the idea of people who win the lottery, the percentage of those people actually put themselves in greater debt than they had before because of their perception was still the same as when they went into the idea of having money.
Hey, can I tell you a great story about one of the girls that won the lotto here that I know, because I noticed things about why people have manifesting. Sometimes they make really blatant statements about things, but she won $300 million or a huge amount or something crazy. And weeks before, she drove past the lotto shop and said to her husband, one day I'm going to walk up those stairs. And he said, well, what would you do with it? And she already spent it. She said, well, I'd give this away to this and I would give that one away. Give this away. And it was all about, so much more about what she was giving away. And then her husband went out a few weeks later and he was going to park in a parking lot. And it was all like, you know, park and valet and get a ticket and, you know, whatever. But across the street, it was easier. He just drove in and he saw the machine and the box and just put his, you know, $1 in there and put his numbers in. And, they won the lotto, and he was out of work. And it was, you know, I saw another guy one day talking about his friend who died in a shark attack, and he said, well, we were just talking the night before laughing about what are our chances of being eaten by a shark. The next day, he's eaten by a shark. You know, I mean, it's these are true stories. These are what people
The next day he had no ass. Okay, I got you.
Very quickly, people are manifesting things, and that's why.
That's why I get ticked off, because there's a, I mean, this one girl in particular, I would love to have a relationship with this woman. I think she's just a fantastic, awesome, beautiful woman. And I was just like, okay, I'm tired of helping other people out, have everything they've ever wanted. And my friend said, what your problem is you, we all have this one concept. We like to control everything. Everyone. Even the person, even the woman who's in an abusive relationship and her husband's controlling her, the reason she manifested that. People might want to sit there and go, that's not true, because, you know, she's the victim. But see, that's the point of victim is, there are no such things as victims. There are things that we also create with ourselves, too. I had a great story where it was like, I'm not complaining. I'm saying I feel like with that particular girl, that would be a fantastic relationship that I can actually see happening. So therefore, if I can see it happening, they always say, if you can conceive it in your mind, you can live it. So we got that going on. But it was just the idea of how people don't understand how they create things. Even the idea of being robbed is a physical manifestation of a fear somewhere along the line. But I had a lady who was a realtor. Some guy called her up and said, I want you to show me this house. She goes and shows the house to the guy. He beats her up. He rapes her and beats her to the point where he thinks she's dead, and he leaves her for dead. Okay? And then she goes through months of rehab and everything. Well, not rehab, but physical therapy and that kind of stuff. She was actually being interviewed, and they asked her a question about who she felt was the fault. And when she said it was her, everybody freaked out and said, why are you blaming yourself for it? And she said, I'm not blaming myself. I'm taking 100% accountability for my life, that I made a choice that put me in that situation. Because she said, if I would have listened to my angels and guides, it would have never happened to me. She said, my angels and guides were even talking to me as I was walking up the sidewalk, telling me to go home, and I wouldn't do it. Because at that moment, money was more important. Making and selling that house was more important than my life. And the process of doing that to myself and not having respect for myself, I put myself in a bad situation. But it was my choice that put me there and nobody else's. And they said, well, what about him? And she goes, well, he has to take accountability for his actions and what he did. Okay,
yeah.
She said, I'm not sitting there saying that he's not accountable for his own actions, but then again, in the process of saying that he has to be accountable for his actions, don't I also have to take accountability for my actions too as well? People just wasn't willing. We actually had her friend on the show, and it was amazing how people just couldn't see both sides of the concept. And look at it as a whole, and all they were doing was like, oh, she, you know, why is she blaming herself for it? That guy was a bad man. Well, she basically came back across and said, I'm a bad person for not listening to my angels. But then again, I understand what you're saying, the idea of badness. It's the ideal. She made a choice, and she had to deal with the consequences of the choice. So was it bad or good? It was just a learning experience.
But she also may have had that very strongly within her own aura, that fear of those situations, which has created it to be manifested as well.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It was also the ideal. See, she put money first. So it could have been traced back to the fear that she had to do that, money. Because I always say this, if you put yourself in a situation where you feel like you have to do something, you should question yourself right then and there if you have to do anything. Because realistically, we don't have to do nothing. It's the things we really want to do. And every time you keep putting yourself into a situation where you put yourself and say, okay, this is what I really want to do, your life keeps getting better. It's always when you start making sacrifices, as some people, I don't call them sacrifices, I call them compromising. The very first time you compromise, you set yourself going down the wrong path. Of sitting there going, okay, let's do one compromise leads to another and another. The next thing you know, you're sitting there questioning your life going, I don't like this. And I think it's kind of crazy to sit there and do this kind of work and actually give somebody insights to change their perception, to change their lives, how quickly they'll come to you and to defend this life they don't want. Have you ever had that before where people are like, okay, I'm looking for guidance to this life I don't like anymore. But as soon as you give them something really positive to work with, all of a sudden they're going to defend you why they need to hang on to this old life.
You know, the best thing that I find about these shows for myself, even like quite a few years back when I had asked questions or were living in doubt or anything like that, was when I went back and I listened to archives, I could tell my own energy of what I was projecting. And it made more sense by re-listening to it. And I think if a lot of people actually spent time listening to archives, they would actually find way more answers than just being in that moment. Because they'll see that repeated pattern, like, well, I keep doing that. I keep asking that question. I keep bringing that energy back into its space. And, you know, the easiest way to find in conversation that I've said to people about energy is sexual energy is huge. Because when you go back into a memory of a sexual energy that you had with somebody, your body is remembering it as well. I mean, you can feel it and without getting it, the sexual parts and arousement and stuff. But you have all of that energy moving and that vibrational energy down in your second chakra. And it's not in the past anymore. You see, it's not you're not thinking about it. It's not having the sex in the past. That energy is now present in the present. And that's kind of like the easiest way I explain sometimes to people that don't understand energy. That's how energy is. The minute you think about it, it becomes alive. Well, we can feel it with sexual energy, but we can't often see it and feel it the other way, but it's very present. And then the more attuned you become with yourself, the more present you become, like that lady where if she was really present with herself, she would have turned instantly and said, thank you, angels, for being there, and got in a car and driven away. I don't need that experience to go through that. Thank you. And it's always, or the other incident that I say to people is that they'll do things like they'll sit at the beach and say, I want to see a whale, I want to see a dolphin, you know, dolphin, you know, I can manifest a dolphin, where's my dolphin? And the dolphin doesn't appear. But then they go home or they're driving home and there's, you know, an ad, a flipper on the bus that they drove by. And they don't go, oh, wow, there's the dolphin. It appeared. It's right next to me on a bus.
Also the same thing, too, where we talk about, I was talking to a friend of mine and saying, when you know, sometimes we got to watch what we manifest, too. That if we're trying to focus on a certain particular situation and we're also focusing on the signs that tells us it's going to happen, that sometimes we can actually put ourselves in a different parameter where we start focusing and manifesting signs that are just a repetitious, seeing the same name over and over again, which has nothing to do with the manifestation of that's going to happen. We've just manifested the name or the situation or... Like, for example, I was sitting there focusing on the name April. Next thing you know, I started seeing April everywhere. And then I started realizing that, okay, guys, we're seeing the signs. How about the real situation, you know, unfolding? And then something kind of came to me and said, okay, in the process of focusing on this person, did you also put the energy out there to keep focusing on seeing that name and that situation all the time? That we have to watch where we put ourselves in the process of manifesting things. Because if you're going to manifest, you can manifest almost anything. So you can also manifest the signs you're looking for, which it could also work against you. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, it comes back to that premise, like, you know, I wish I had some money, and then you'll walk over a penny, you know, instead of picking up the penny and being grateful for that, that is money. I mean...
Yeah, I always have a tendency to pick up anything that I come across of telling the universe, yes, I am open to receiving money of all kinds of denominations. There was actually an affirmation I also had, too, where it says, money comes to me every day and in every way. I always say thank you all the time, too. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And then we go on our way. But I'm just saying that one day I was like, the signs I was manifesting got so it was obsessive. So therefore, I started attracting that energy of that name or that date or whatever went with the whole thing. When it was all I was really doing was it had taken my energy away from actually manifesting the situation and the opportunity to be with that person. But
right.
My obsession actually started creating just the signs themselves, which took my focus away from what I really wanted to manifest.
Yeah. I think that comes down to that, you know, let go, let God. You know, when you...
Oh, yeah. That's one thing I was talking about, too, where I was sitting there going, why is it so important to let go? When you let go, you're telling the universe, I'm open to receive whatever, the changes, the situations, and the universe usually has a tendency to react very quickly. Because I've noticed one thing with manifestations, what the most important thing is that detachment, letting go part.
Yeah. I approach certain people of, maybe wanting to do a show, wanting to do this, wanting to do that, and I just do it in the way that if it's reciprocal at the other end, it will line up immediately. If it's not, it's not because of what I want. It may be because of the timing's not right for the other person, and I want to be in alignment with them, then they're ready to be in alignment with me.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not about being good or bad or right or wrong or right place. It's just a matter of the divine timing. You know, this is an incident of divine timing. Went to the Philippines many years back, and I ended up manifesting a free ticket and came about many years before I actually had worked very hard to send my father and sent him and a ticket. Really wanted to go, and I ended up with a free ticket many years later. But I wanted to stop in Bali and reconnect with a girlfriend of mine, and I just thought, well, you know, the airplane kind of flies over that area, you know, change the ticket and go there. But I wasn't able to change the ticket, so I never got to see her. And I had reconnected with her a few months before in the snow for about 3 months in New Zealand skiing. And she had decided that she was going to go around the world and just sort of, you know, go up through India and everywhere and Europe and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And this was my only way of connecting with her. And I lost her, you know, on her travels.
Wow.
And I went back to Australia. And, of course, I met this guy in the rock band at the kind of like at the airport almost. And boom, I was sort of a year later, I came to America. And the second night I was in LA, I decided to go to Utah and ski for a little bit just until he came back into town because he'd left. We saw each other. Same thing. I said, I only need 10 minutes to see if there's anything there. And he said to me, I can only see you for 10 minutes in the office because I'm leaving town, but I really want to see you and catch up. It's you put that manifestation out. So I fly into Utah, walk into a restaurant with a ski instructor that we'd all skied with in this mountain and in New Zealand, and this girl walks in, and I go, oh, my God, that's my girlfriend. And it was the girl I wanted to meet in Bali. I met in Utah for 10 minutes, but she was only there for 10 minutes. And she stopped in that restaurant because that was the restaurant she used to work in many, many years before, and she stopped to see the owner. I had no knowledge of any of that information, but we reconnected there. 2 days before, I was in Hawaii, and I said to this man, oh, damn, I wish I had my girlfriend's address. I know she lives in Hawaii. I didn't think to find her, to see her. Went to L.A., walked into that Hawaiian restaurant for dinner that night, and she walked right into the restaurant. Boom, there she was. And it was sort of, 7 events like that happened in 7 days that were just unexplainable, that you think of somebody and there they are.
Yeah.
And those are the miracles. That's what I was saying before. I was in that real state of living out what I call, when you live outside the box, you know, all the miracles live outside the blinkers. And most people go through blinkers on, like that 40-hour, 40-week, you know, paycheck lifestyle is, like everything's in those blinkers within that area. It's like the racehorse going down the track. They don't see anything else. They're not distracted by anything else. But all of those distractions are all of those voices, like the angels and the people and the messages, or, you know, the billboard with the dolphin on it that most people would just drive by. I go, oh, wow, there's my dolphin I asked for. Flipper was, you know, it didn't matter that it was in the ocean. It just turned up to me. And the more you do that with spirit, and I think with your guides, the more they kind of drop things in your pathway to, you know, have you ever Googled something and landed on a page and it's the perfect page? And like, oh, wow, there's something there that I needed, or a connection or something. I'll leave it on my desktop. And within 2 days, somebody's saying, oh, you should check out my girlfriend. She's at such and such a site, and it's a site that I already have open. Mm. You know, I'm here before I'm there because of that golden triangle again, where one person connects to the next person always.
Right.
Journey to be on. That's what I keep saying. You can connect all the dots. And I think in life that, you know, when people talk about coming to the planet, when we come back and we reincarnate, we actually have everything mapped out for us completely. But when we arrive, we end up at the maze door, you know, where we can either go left or right.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get to the center, but we may have to do some backtracking or, you know, stop, rest, you know, move on. But it's, we don't have the view from above anymore as to where, mm-hmm. how we get where we go to the end. We
mm-hmm.
have to see the door and it, go through it so that we don't come knowing everything. We come here to experience everything, you know, and those experiences become the knowledge. Do you see what I'm saying? Otherwise, there would be no reason for us to be here.
Right. No, I understand. And I was just there thinking about this relationship. It's like, okay, what do I have to do and be on the same, be for us to be on the same frequency? It was actually acceptance. That's the word. Open up, letting down the resistance. Acceptance of actually letting it happen. Because I think it's where we're at, where it's like, resistance can be on both sides. People don't realize sometimes in the process of, you know, you're sitting here looking at the situation, the person's being resistant to it. When we should look at the reflection of back about of ourselves, or asking ourselves, is there some kind of resistance within ourselves as well? Because I was sitting there talking to a friend of mine, and she was like, I think you're having a problem of actually conceiving in your mind that someone could actually like you like them. And maybe if you would sit there and allow yourself to live that reality that they can, then maybe they will also open themselves up to you too as well, and allowing that to happen. So it's all about you. And I was like, oh, wow, just got some advice back about what I've put out there. That was interesting in itself. But it's the idea of resistance comes in many, many forms, not just the idea, okay, here's a person who has a little resistance to the situation because people say, well, she's scared. She has some fearful things that she's gone through, where her action says, I hug you, I want to be with you, but then her mouth says, or her words say, I don't want to deal with this. But then again, I do. So we're trying to figure out, okay, where's the resistance where she won't let herself completely go down? Well, instead of trying to figure her out, we need to go back and reflect on ourselves, where our resistance at is too as well. And maybe that will actually solve the situation. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and I think the other thing is too, is that you've got to realize that you're really powerful, you know, and you are a really powerful energy. Well, that's what I sense in you yourself. You know, you have a really strong self-esteem and knowledge and, you know, divine backing.
You can
actually
tap into other people of self, of their own insecurities.
Yeah. And
I just would say with
to their way of being, you're too big for them, you know, so it's sort of like bringing her, what she has to come up to, like bring that energy up as well, so you're meeting as equals. But the, you know, if you have a moment with her or you get to communicate with her or anything, the best way to know when you're in sync with someone instantly is through humor. And when you're have that compatibility with someone. It doesn't matter whether it's in a business meeting or, you know, in a board meeting or just, you know, the guy at the grocery store. When there's that humor, you have that reciprocal energy instantly when they laugh at you and they're on that same wavelength. You know instantly that they're reciprocal to who you are and you are to them. And when you get people going, what do you mean? You know, like do that question, you go, okay, they're not there with me. You know, they're nice people mm-hmm. and they're all, everything is, there's no judgment. I don't mean it in that way, but do you understand?
No, I know what you mean, because I mean, I remember a couple of situations where I was doing a palm reading for her and I was just basically saying, do you think it's a secret how much I really do like you? And she said, not at all. So right at that moment, you're on the same page and things are working where you just sit there and you speak your mind, she speaks her mind, and you're communicating with each other. No effort at all. Because, I mean, I remember when I first met this girl back in March, the very first second I met her, I knew there was a connection between the two of us. That I said her and told her, and she was very open to it. Because I remember the conversation. I was sitting there saying, it was just really great, fantastic. You just communicate. I say what I say. She says what she says. We're on the same page. I think we always have been. It's just that certain little things of the public, you know. She works in this store. So I even looked at her, and I said, you know something? Are you married? And she's like, no. I said, okay, do you have a boyfriend? She goes, yeah. I said, wow, you don't sound like you're too happy about that. She goes, I'm happy about it, kind of, sort of. But see, we were still communicating. So
yeah.
Whatever was going on around us didn't make any difference. The connection was there and always has been. And I've even sat there and stated a couple of times, there's been one time where I actually sat there and said, you know, some people have really good connections and stuff. They should explore this and see where they're going to go or see what they're all about, if you know what I mean. And she kind of looked at me and smiled. She knew exactly what I was talking about. And it's always been. And then she has a couple of times where she pulls back because, you know, realistically, when you look at situations, I always tell people flat out when it comes to relationships, when a guy looks at you and says, you'll never find anybody else like me, that's the most truest statement there is, because there is no one like him. So he's using it to his advantage and what he wants. At the same time, he's speaking the truth. So sometimes it's hard for women to go, okay, I don't think he's lying to me. Well, in the true sense, he's not lying to you, but he's also being deceitful because he's using it to his advantage. He's not doing it for the right reason. He's doing it because he wants you back. He doesn't care how he does that. He just wants you back. So he makes a statement like that. And the reason you can't distinguish the truth, because he is telling you the truth, because there is no one like him. I think you should look at the situation and go, thank God. But in certain situations, but not in that one in particular. You there?
Well, there are no two people alike. You're absolutely right. So you can't compare that. But I'm sure that with you being like in your profession and someone going to you to have a reading like that, you know, your particular girl, it's almost like sometimes it's a little over-empowering, because it's almost like, well, he knows too much about me. You know,
no, I understand that one too, because I actually had, when I did the palm reading for her, I had to sit there and back off, because I'm very detailed and very good at what I do, and I started going to the area where the relationships are, past relationships, and I sat there and looked at it and kind of like, mm-hmm. She was like, why do you keep doing that for? And I'm sitting there going, I'm not going to go here on these relationships, because I'm not going to do that until you're ready to talk about it. I won't sit there and go there. I'll respect you, and that's your privacy. So, I mean, I respect those things. I didn't go there because I knew what these relationships were all about. I still do. And I understand why she pulls back, because she's the one that started the whole flirtatious, pushing, really wanting this to happen, maybe to the point where she didn't think it would actually happen. And then looking at a person, like you said, and we sit and talk to people too and say, hey, we're not being self-centered. There is a difference between being self-centered, egotistic, to actually speaking the truth. And I actually made a statement to her the last time I talked to her when she pulled away. I went down to talk to her, And I just had this really strong feeling she thought I was going to overreact and get mad at her and get angry because of what she had said. And I just looked at her and I said, "You're awesome." You know, basically something about being special. And she said, "It's good that someone sees me that way," which told me that in some sense of the word, she doesn't see herself that way. So therefore, being in my presence, I had to make this statement to show her why I was so drawn to her. Because like attracts like. I looked her right in the face and I said, "I'm an awesome, great person, and I know this. And why do I know this?" And she goes, "Why?" "Because I met you."
Yeah. That's cute.
And it was like, I told my friend, I said, most people are looking at that situation from their perception and was saying, "Well, aren't you being egotistic and self-centered?" When actually what I was doing was I was complimenting her. I'm basically saying to her, what you see is I can see within you too. We right. attract each other. Like attracts like. So I'm awesome and great, and so are you. And people were just like, "Well, wow." Okay, my friend was saying, "You're being very vulnerable to her, aren't you?" Yes, because if I'm being very vulnerable to her, I'm basically encouraging her. I guess it's one of those things where I'm being so vulnerable, I'm just doing it, giving her the confidence where she can do the same. That vulnerability is not a sign of weakness. Vulnerability is actually a sign of strength.
I think when you get into relationships, when you surrender to relationships, you have to be authentic. And a lot of people are not quite ready, and even myself, of being 100% authentic with another person. Because you can't hide anything when you're in relationships, you know. And that when I went back to that privacy thing again for me, you know, my privacy. And I was very known as a teenager. I was quite famous. And so I've experienced what it feels like when, you know, people know you from, you know, whatever avenue it is. It doesn't really matter, but you have that feel. And so you bring that to the table when you're in a relationship, being authentic, because you have to. You can't sort of, you know, just put on the costume of the works with that person and then go home and be a completely different person. You know.
Yeah, and the vulnerability too. I was in her. I remember talking to her before when we were just casually talking, and I was, you know, I picked things up from everybody. So I'm being told of one person. I said, "I know everything." Sometimes I feel like I do, and I said, and it's like, do I know everything about, if I'm at this moment, do I know what's going on in the world, everything's going on in the world? No, but I can pretty much tell you what exactly going on right at this moment within this confine of this moment that I'm in with whoever I'm in with. And I was sitting there talking to her and saying, "You know something, you're a multi-faced person." And so I'm not saying it's a bad or a good thing. I'm just saying you have a tendency to have a personality for everybody because of being scared of the vulnerability. And I never realized at the time I was telling her that because she was sitting there, she looked at me and she goes, "Well, you're in business. You work for yourself, so you have to carry yourself in a certain way." I said, "I guess there is a certain amount of that." But when I thought about it later on, I said, "No, I don't." I'm not saying I ever did. But right now, it's like I cannot sit there and tell people that the most important thing that you can do in your life is to be yourself. And that's where you're going to get the most results. That's where you're going to get everything you ever wanted, because people are going to see you as authentic and they're going to be more willing to be opened up to you. So therefore, the idea of attracting the opportunities to have exactly what you want is going to happen a whole lot easier. And that's what I was saying to her. I said, "I understand why you do it, but I also feel like you're tired of it and you just want to be yourself." And then she said, "I like what I do. I don't like the business part of it, but I like the other part where I can help people." And I think that's where she really wants to be at. But until she comes to that point of going after it, nothing I can do except for be a good listener. But the one thing that baffles me, I wouldn't say baffles me, I think she's the most confusing girl ever. Well, that's not really confusing. Certain things that happen of a person who's open, expressive, but at the same time when it comes to, I guess you would say, relationships, there's a little bit on that whole thing. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I told her, I sat her and looked at her and said that exactly to her. And I wasn't even sure I was going to get it out. But it was good because I actually was talking to her. I was nervous as all get out. And then I actually got that out to her. And I even looked at her and said, it was a blessing the day I met you. And I would just like to keep that blessing going. Now, she never told me nothing. She never really expressed herself except for that one time where she said, it's good that someone sees me that way. I just wish she could see herself the same way as well, to open up the possibilities that when you have situations like this present themselves to you that you really want to take advantage of and really want to be a part of, and there's things in your life that you haven't let go of, I think at that moment, that's the reason you should confront those situations and even allow them to happen, because it's going to present to you the things that no longer contribute to your happiness, how easy it is to let go of those in favor of what you really want. That's why I feel like, because we were talking about relationships, why are relationships so important? Because in the midst of having relationships of any kind, we find out more things about ourselves.
Oh, so relationships press all our buttons, and that's how we grow. I mean, we grow through our interaction with everybody. I mean, otherwise, you'd just be sitting on an island collecting coconuts, wouldn't you? You know, like in isolation. And but going back to what I was sensing is there's a few parts of her, and I don't really want to use the term in the sense of being broken, but there's a few chips and a few broken parts that she needs to repair in herself. Because I quite often find people when they say things like, I really want to help the world and I really want to help these people and I want to help that they haven't really quite got to the point of helping themselves first. And in their own journey of discovery, they're suddenly wanting to, you know, share it with everybody. It's like this whole wake-up movement. You know, the moment somebody has, you know, one visitation from spirit, they're suddenly like, wow, you know, I'm suddenly, you know, born in this high dimension and I can do this and I can preach this. And they have the concept that you wake up every day, you know, and every day is another wake-up. That was just such a small fragment of the whole reality. But they suddenly, you know, like have this wake-up concept, and now they're out to run around telling everybody else about their wake-up in a sense of being not having even enough time to digest their wake-up, you know, because out of that digestion.
Oh, no, I understand completely. I mean, I had a girl, an ex-girlfriend of mine was sitting there telling me how she's now a Christian and everything about the whole thing. And a friend of mine was like, she goes, you was kind of hard on her, weren't you, when you said you called her a phony? I said, well, the reason I called her a phony is because that's exactly what I saw. And I think I just had to say it because that's what it was all about, because she's trying to convince me. And when people try to convince me, the less I believe you, because you're trying to convince me. Because I think if I'm given the opportunity to see it for what it is, I don't need someone to tell me what it is. It will present itself just that way. And then she started going into this concept. She said, I asked her, I just sat her and said, so, would you like to get back together? And she was like, as we went through the conversation, all of a sudden she started talking about her guy. She started talking about, your guides are giving you BS about me. They're giving you BS about the whole thing. Your guides. I'm sitting there going, my friend was like, so what's wrong with that? I said, I never asked my guides anything. I was just asking her, do you want to get back together? As in a conversation. Just asking a question, and then she comes back and says, your guides are giving you BS about me. And I'm sitting there going, what are you talking about? At that moment, see, I was sitting there just being myself. I was irritated because she's lying to me, and she's being phony. And then as you see the conversation unfold, she proves it by sitting there telling me, my guides are giving me BS about her. Okay.
But I think it's a lot what happens when people start getting into their lifestyle and with a label, like to have to say I'm Christian or I'm this or I'm that or in whatever.
All they're trying to do is just themselves.
Yeah, but it's just sort of saying, my group is over here saying this, and she's looking at your group and calling, well, your group said that my group is a phony and I'm a phony, and it's sort of like the battle of the groups, and it's sort of like,
I just look at them going, okay, there's no group here, my friend. I said it. So they listen to what I say, because her biggest thing is, I knew her, she was always wanting to be a part of a group. And she goes, how come you don't want to be a part of a group? Because I'm an individual. I don't need to be a part of anything to be who I am. I knew who I am. And it was like we had an argument once before, too, when she said, you don't love me enough to be my friend. And I said, you know something? If I'm not mistaken, I've never had to question my feelings for you. I never had to question anything. But if I'm not mistaken, you have. And here you are trying to make me question